There are some concerns that a for-profit company such as Aetna has profits in mind over the welfare of people and children. Here in West Virginia, there's no denying we have a broken foster care system. How will this shift help address that?
Sure. So we've been here for over 23 years. And so what we're looking to do is not take money from the system and ship it to a for-profit company, on a national level. There is no real emphasis on the profit. Really, what we see is where is care falling through the cracks? And it's interesting on a managed care model, what the goal is to shift the care from like an emergency room setting, from an inpatient setting to more of the preventive services. So you see those utilization numbers go up while you're with the hope that the emergency room utilization will drop. And so our job is to make the state's program as efficient as possible while driving all the healthcare outcomes up. And so each year we have to reinvent ourselves and say, this worked, this did not. So what do we need to tweak to kind of push that in the positive direction?
And when you look at it from the perspective of where do we start intervening, our current foster care system, we're intervening in a very reactive way. We are the ones who are getting involved when, children have experienced a lot of adversity, families are totally falling apart, and the services that many of these kids end up needing tend to be very high-end expensive services because the amount of complications they've experienced. The whole process of well-being from Aetna's perspective is how do we now look at not only treating that child today for what has happened to them, but how do we put services and look at practice that are more proactive? For many of these children and families, they are impacted by multiple siloed systems. So the system of care model will allow us to look at and assist with juvenile justice issues, child welfare issues, adult and transitioning youth issues, so that we can better interface, including recovery and resiliency issues that families and children have to manage.
As you know, there's current litigation here in West Virginia against the state of West Virginia on behalf of foster care children who allege the DHHR has rampant issues with institutionalization for children, inadequate mental health services, and overextended caseworkers. And meanwhile, we see that in Texas, there's also been a similar lawsuit, and that state has been embroiled in this litigation for years. And Texas, moved to a managed care model in the 1990s, I believe. So how is this shift going to improve the underlying issues that are really affecting our foster care crisis here in the state?
So I've thought about this a good bit. And so a lot of the issues that we see on the general Medicaid side over the last several years, it's not an issue with the services that are available, through the benefit structure and everything. It's really the resources from the provider side. And where we hope to come in or where we expect to come in and really be able to help the program is to take some of the load off of the CPS workers. And once again, this care coordination component that's been missing is a major issue that has to be addressed. And so that's what we are good at, and that's what we'd like to do. And so by taking a lot of the load off the CPS worker on having to gather this information and having to, they're working with the family. We'll have a care coordinator working with the family as well. We're really hoping to kind of go in and take some of the load off these folks that's been doing this by themselves for quite some time.
Yeah, and I can't emphasize enough the importance of the care managers in the communities and knowing the families. That's another very positive part of how Aetna's approached this. It will allow the continued development of community resources as the care managers work with the CPS staff to best serve children where they're at and assisting their families and where they are. I think that's a real critical difference. Also looking at this, I said this before, with a trauma-informed lens and really understanding the ramifications of trauma and how it affects children and families short-term and long-term. I think that is very significant for a managed care organization to have adopted this breaking, kind of really cutting-edge science approach to well-being, I think it's very critical. And I think the outcome will be positive for West Virginia.
You both mentioned trauma-informed care. And here in West Virginia, we have a shortage of mental health providers that specialize in taking care of children who have a background in, you know, trauma. So how do we address that shortage?
Well, that's the fun part of the job. Part of the training collaborative is going to be connecting and training throughout the state. And one of the beauties of being trauma-informed, more and more people are coming to the table and wanting to learn. There's a variety of trainings that we can utilize. School systems now are coming and saying we want to become trauma-informed schools, different providers. I think it's really on a big rollout in West Virginia. It's something I'm very, very proud to say that I've been part of. It is critical to all of our children and to our families that this is how we see the world. And it's much more than a training. It's much more a paradigm shift into how we evaluate, how we work with, and how we deal with each other. So when you said mental health professionals, trauma-informed care is the bus driver, right? Good trauma-informed care is the lady who works in the cafeteria. Everyone can be trained on how to be sensitive to trauma in the lives of others so that you don't have to be a licensed mental health professional. You can be an incredible teacher. You can be an awesome foster parent and still be very cognizant of what that means to be trauma-informed and how you engage. So whoever the caregiver is for the child can impact that child and help them heal if they understand that the behavior that they see is more of a way a child is trying to explain what's happening, not just a behavioral disruption. So I think that's really critical that we continue educating and training throughout the state.